What's a hundred wins? What's a hundred wins if you lose that one person that you wanna win with? What's a hundred wins if you lose that one person that you wanna win with? Let it a hundred, keep it a hundred. That ain't something you wanna deal with. Let it a hundred, keep it a hundred,
keep it a hundred.
That ain't something you wanna deal with.
That ain't a hundred,
that ain't a hundred.
You flexing a band, but truthfully, nigga, that shit ain't no money. Tricking on bitches, the bang gon' fix you, niggas so funny. They count your money. Now you looking hurt about it. Now you need a loan. Oh, whatever you want, I ain't got it. That Gucci you got is a clone, I don't doubt it. Niggas be trying to show off for the pussy. I don't be doing that shit with the profit. I need me some profit. I need me a real estate. I'm popping, I fill up the bank. I could drop a new tape every day. I'm killing these niggas. I fell asleep during the wait. It's pretty empty in my lane. I like it like this, I could cruise. I found a draw that I can move. How you winning, but your partners ain't. I ain't here to make the rules. These niggas fake like the news. Trump.
What's up?
Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mez. He tuned in to Mez Drinks and Chill. Pardon me. I started drinking already. We on a Hennessy. And my guest Morgan is on the champagne. Morgan, what up?
Hey, guys. Morgan Robinson here at True.Matriarch. And we're here to talk about some very interesting topics tonight. So I'm super excited.
What are we talking about? Let's tell them what we're talking about.
So we are talking about matriarchy. Which a lot of you all got to understand how deep it really, truly runs.
Patriarchy into. And matriarchy?
Unfortunately, we have to discuss patriarchy, but it goes hand in hand with matriarchy, but right. It needs to be discussed. But I think that this conversation is going to make some people uncomfortable, but I think that it is essential for growth, as well as truly understanding how deeply rooted patriarchy runs in our society, specifically in the United States of America. As well as in your everyday life. It is directly tied to your birth control. It is directly tied to toxic masculinity. It is directly tied to your job, whether you choose to acknowledge it or not. So I'm looking forward to diving into some interesting topics. We have all done research on this topic. I am still learning. I am not an expert in matriarchy by any means, but it is something that I'm very excited about and very passionate about. So let's get to it.
Matriarchy is in your Instagram name too, right?
It is.
What's your Instagram?
At true.matriarch.
So let's start off with what patriarchy is, right? Patriarchy is a system of society or government in which the father or eldest male is the head of the family and the descent traced through the male line. There's also other a system of society where the government in which men hold the power and women are largely excluded from it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, let's kind of piece that apart a little bit. Patriarchy is what people need to understand, is specifically geared towards white males.
Okay.
And matriarchy is not necessarily geared towards white women, but let's just speak about one portion of it as of right now. And the lineage within white families is well, the lineage and the legacy within white families is very important to them. They are very, white males are big on carrying out their legacy regardless of what it is.
Right.
So if it's pillaging the village, if it's slavery, if it is beating the shit out of your wife, it's something that is deeply rooted within the legacy of white males. And the reason why I chose matriarch as my Instagram name, let's back up a little bit. The reason why I did that is because I believe in, and I see myself as a true leader within my household, as well as a leader within my community. And one big symbol that is tied to matriarchy is the elephant. You know, it's one thing that is, it's a, elephant's not necessarily considered the king or the queen of the jungle, but it's someone that has always held a lot of power, as well as a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you're not going to walk up to an elephant. You're just not going to do
that. You don't want no smoke with an elephant.
You don't want no smoke with an elephant. So definitely fully understanding that patriarchy is very deeply rooted, and it is definitely a generational curse that I do believe that should be eradicated, but it's going to take time to do that.
Now, with matriarchy, can you be a matriarch and still be, I know a lot of women don't like the term submissive, but can you be submissive? Can you be, you know, there's certain feminine roles that I guess are placed on, I know, but that's put on through patriarchy, but, you know, what all does it take to, like, you know, the details of being a matriarch, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that you can 100% be a matriarch and still be submissive within your relationship with your partner. But people also got to understand the importance of what submissiveness actually means. Mm-hmm. And being submissive just has such a negative connotation that we've got to understand mm-hmm. that being submissive doesn't always mean it's a bad thing.
Right. Because men can be submissive to their women, too.
Men should be submissive to their men, just like women should be submissive to their man. But you also have to know there's a time and place for that.
Yeah.
And fully understanding that a form of submissiveness, I know we talked about this earlier, but a form of submissiveness is a woman choosing to breastfeed her child mm-hmm. in public mm-hmm. is, you're not going to be any more vulnerable than that. I do not have any children,
right?
But I have had girlfriends, I've had friends, I've had family members that have breastfeed their child in front of me, and they did not feel uncomfortable in the slightest bit, because who am I to make another woman or to make another individual feel uncomfortable about feeding their child in front of me? And breastfeeding in public has become an issue.
Which I don't understand why. Like, I don't understand the issue with that. Like, I totally don't understand that. Sometimes, like, I've had a female friend who had a baby, and I just happened to be there, you know, just, and she was about to breastfeed, and I felt uncomfortable based on, I didn't want to be in the room when she was exposed.
Right.
That I was uncomfortable on her behalf, not because I don't want her to feed her baby or nothing like that, but, you know, sometimes you just want to look away, or you don't feel like, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Is that?
So why do you feel as though her breastfeeding in front of you made you feel uncomfortable? Because that's deeply rooted from another place. You know, it's, yes, being exposed is one thing, but it's like, she's not flashing you. She's legitimately giving her child life. You know, like, she's feeding her child because her child needs to eat in order to survive.
Right.
So it's like, why? And you don't have to answer. This is more of like a rhetorical question, but.
No,
how did we even get to a place where you as a man don't feel comfortable being in a room with another woman that you are that's breastfeeding?
Because I didn't want to be the creep. I didn't want to be the guy watching you breastfeed. That's the reason. Not because you shouldn't do it. I just didn't want to be the reason why. Like, I didn't want to make her uncomfortable that I'm in the room while she's breastfeeding. But then she was like, I ain't tripping. She told me that it was cool. It ain't no problem, because she's like family to me. And that was another reason, too. So I'm like, but if you say it's cool, it's cool. Like, she just breastfed and we just acted normal. You know what I mean? But I just didn't want to make her uncomfortable. You know, because sometimes when you're a man, there's so many different things with women that you don't want to make them uncomfortable. Because we, as men, we already are, like, toxic with women. So I didn't want to, just didn't want to add to that. That's why.
Yeah. No, and I completely understand that. I think that, I'm sure she appreciates the fact that you even acknowledged that you didn't want her to feel uncomfortable. You didn't want to feel uncomfortable, but breastfeeding is a way of life. You know, like, it's something that is essential for a child to survive.
Facts.
And I don't think anyone should be uncomfortable with a woman choosing to breastfeed in public. You know, I've known women that are completely covered up and are breastfeeding their child and still make people uncomfortable. Like, you can't even see anything below her neck. Like, they create these cloths and these, like, holding devices where you can't even see what the woman is doing. But if you're just so happen to look in that area, you're just like, I've never really seen that type of tarp over her shoulder. And you're just like, what is she doing in there? And then when you start to ask yourself, well, what is she doing? Why is she doing it? We're in the mall. Like, that's none of your business. Yeah. You know, like, she's taking some time to feed her child in the middle of the mall, then that should just the way you were just eating your Chick-fil-A.
Exactly.
In the middle of the mall is the exact same situation.
You're in the food court eating.
You're in the food court and the baby eating. So
exactly.
At the end of the day, we all got to eat.
Yeah.
But it's the most unfortunate thing. And I think that it definitely stems deeply into a world of where women breastfeeding in public is inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it's because as women, we've been overly sexualized at a very young age. And I got this might be too much information, but I got my period at the age of, 12?
That's
young. Yeah. I mean, it's partially because we have hormones, way too many hormones in our food, but that's a whole separate conversation for another podcast. But I got my period when I was in middle school, and my mom just made me feel so uncomfortable about having a menstrual cycle. Like, hide your pads, hide this, hide that, make sure you wear this, make sure you don't wear white. Like, there's so many things where it's just like, I feel like in 2019, 2020, men just became comfortable with period blood.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the craziest thing to think that a natural habit that we have, something that just happens naturally for us not getting pregnant.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form, we're being punished depending on what your religion is. But men are still uncomfortable by that. You know, men are still feel weird about being around a woman that has her menstrual cycle where you know that she's bleeding or whatever the situation is. When like in our eyes, it's a form of cleansing. You know, it's a form of detoxing. So,
and I think men, not trying to be graphic, but they pick and choose when they want to be uncomfortable with the period. Because
this is true.
Let's say, not trying to get too nasty with y'all, but if a woman wants to have sex with majority of guys on her period, most guys are still going to run it. Like the
women's
red light.
Women's hormones are at the absolute highest the week of the period and then the week after the period.
Right.
So that is the menstruation period as well as the ovulation period. And that is typically the time frames where post period is typically the time frames where women are most fertile to get pregnant. So naturally we just get to a point where period sex is a very normal thing, and I don't think that people should be uncomfortable by it, but there are plenty of men, women, whomever, that are just completely grossed out by the idea of...
Like, if you ask a man to go get pads, a lot of men would get uncomfortable with that, which I don't understand why. It's like, nigga, go get the pads.
That, and then also...
What?
I've had a significant other go to the store to get pads or tampons. It is a very daunting task to go into Target when there's 40 different options. There's organic, there's unscented, there's scented. Like, you got to understand that it's a full shopping experience when you go and purchase pads and tampons for a woman, because you don't know what she needs. You don't know what size she needs. Like, especially with men, like, okay, I found a brand that I want to get her, but like, how do I know what size?
Wait, is the size based on the pussy, or is it size based on? I'm joking. Sapphire raised his hand like, no, nigga, don't say. I'm joking.
For those who do not know, size is based upon the flow.
Yeah, I'm joking.
So you've got what light, you've got regular, you've got super, you've
so
got super
plus. I thought I was serious.
That's why I was like, let me go ahead and put this disclaimer in here so that these ladies are just like, she didn't even say anything about him. No.
Listen. I'm joking, y'all. Most of the listeners know me personally, so they know I joke around. But
I get it. But have you ever had a conversation about tampons on your show? Okay.
Cool. Oh, no, not on my show, no.
That's why I'm saying. Let me go ahead and insert this, because I just want people to know.
Right.
The size of the tampon as well as the size of the pad, length of the pad, whether you have wings or not, is dependent upon the flow.
Right. Ladies, just send a man a picture. Like, this is what I need, like,
just
the box.
Ladies, be very specific. Don't send your man into the store.
Yeah, because he will come back with diapers.
Pads, and he'll get back with Depends, and then you'll be very upset with him.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that. Now, how does oppression come into patriarchy?
I think that oppression comes into patriarchy because, and I'm going to give you guys a real life example. I've got a lot of Black, African American, brown people that I follow on social media, specifically on Instagram and Facebook. And during 2021, I know we're in a new year, but during 2021, we were discussing a lot of things about the Black Lives Matter movement as well as oppression as a collective. And a lot of conversations that I felt were extremely inappropriate during that time were the conversations that I was reading from Black men and Black women. And specifically, they were asking who was oppressed more, the Black man or the Black woman. And
that should be an easy answer.
I agree 100%. But it seemed to be, and it was Black men as well as Black women posting it on Facebook. They were screenshotting it on their Instagram. And it was flooding my timeline at the absolute wrong time. And I think that this was during the time where white folks was posting their Black square with their little hashtag, making it feel like they were making an actual difference, you know, within the community. But it was an inappropriate time. And if you were one of those people that asked that question during that time, you know who you are. But at the same time, understand the reason why it was at the wrong time, because this was the time where white people did more research on Black lives, Black Lives Matter, the movement, everything that we as a collective, as Black people, stood for.
Right.
And unfortunately, the way that Twitter is set up, when you search a certain word, all tweets come up that use that actual word. So during that time, if you search the word Black women during the time of the actual revolution that I feel like we were going through, those tweets would have came up. And that's not adding value to the actual issue as a hand. And I think that those tweets and those posts on social media were clouding the judgment of white people that were actually trying to do their research.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't believe in any white saviors, but at the end of the day, white people still went on and they try to do their research, try to educate themselves. And people have to understand that during times of revolution, during times of transitions of everything, we were in a pandemic at that point. You got to understand that if you're not actually adding value to what people are trying to do, you're creating a hindrance to it.
Yeah.
So we transition into this place where I'm seeing friends that I've not really friends, people that I've gone to high school with, I've been in middle school with, like I've known them for years, are legitimately going back and forth in their comments about who is oppressed more, when in all reality, this shouldn't even be a conversation. That's number one. Number two, this all show is an inappropriate time to be having that conversation. So
we're still talking about black men and black
the
women.
Oppression. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's to the point where I am a firm believer that black women are more oppressed than black men. Because I am a minority times two,
you know,
like not only am I a woman, but I'm also an African-American woman.
Right.
So I'll never receive the same opportunities as a man would receive, but I also would never receive the same opportunities as a black man would receive.
Like in America, the hierarchy would be like, according to society, would be white man, black man. They might be tied with white women, like low key. And then it's the black woman at the bottom, which is fucked up. But that's just, that's not my rules. That's just how society views them.
Yeah.
So how is that even up for debate? Like with all the things that we see, like I can't wrap my head around somebody debating that.
Absolutely. So I am going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I do think that it is white men, white women, a severe difference between the white man and the black man. And then at the very bottom is going to be the black woman. And the reason why I disagree with you is because the Central Park situation where Central Park 5, I'm sure you heard about that story, but I'm not going to go into that. We're going to go to the most recent situation where the black man was minding his business in Central Park.
Oh, yeah, with the white lady
that
with the dog.
Had her dog. Mm-hmm. And he did not touch her. He didn't say anything to her. He literally just told her to put her dog on a leash.
Yeah.
And she completely lost her damn mind. Like, was yelling, screaming, saying that he was touching her, that he was assaulting her. She called the police, like put in a false report, the full nine yards, you know? And that is the reason why white men or white women and black men will never be on the same equivalent plane, just for the simple fact that white women report crimes that have never actually happened against black men on a consistent basis.
And me too.
This has been going down. Perfect example.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely can make sense.
But the conclusion of that entire situation is black women are at the very bottom of the
for
total
sure.
pole. But it's fine because we're rising up, so it don't matter.
Yeah. What about in a family structure? How does patriarchy work in that?
In a family structure, and I'm going to speak specifically based upon my family. So I've got two black parents. I've got a younger brother that is 5 years younger than me. And even though him and I are only a few years different, we were only in school together for 1 year. So when I was in the fifth grade, he was in kindergarten.
Right.
So we were only in school together at one point in time. I told him I didn't want him cramping my style. So you stay on your side of the school, I'm gonna stay on mine. And that's just gonna be it.
Right.
But the patriarchy within itself kind of ran really deep because my father drilled into me that boys aren't good for me, that men ain't shit, you know, like in the nicest way he possibly could have when he was talking to his fifth grade, about to go into sixth grade year old daughter. And in that same transition period was a time where I also hit puberty. I was growing into my full figuredness. I was, and this is going to shock you, in the sixth grade, I was 5'7 and 140 pounds.
Wow.
So
in the sixth grade?
In the sixth grade. So that summer from fifth grade to sixth grade was the craziest summer of my life. But that summer was when I also hit puberty. So my growth chart legitimately skyrocketed like overnight. It was the crazy thing how it happened.
And I went through the same thing, but I was in high school.
Yeah, no.
Like I went from like 5'8", 5'9", to like 6'1".
Yeah.
In a summer.
Happened, it happened. And I don't know why the summer is like the growth period, but it happened during that time. And I was one of the biggest girls in sixth grade. And at that point, like I was still kind of on my like tomboy side. You know, like I like to play kickball and football. 100%. That tomboy was definitely the tomboy, the patriarchy was running through me where I felt more comfortable in sweatpants and sneakers than I did in a skirt, because that is what my mom told me, that as a female, as a girl, you should be wearing skirts and dresses and blouses. I was like, I didn't want none of that shit. That was the last thing that I wanted to wear. I wanted to be on the kickball field. I want to play football with the boys. Like, I literally remember having this conversation with my dad about me wanting to play football with the boys, and he actually entertained me for a couple of months. Yeah. Like he, cause I was a solid girl. So it's like, he's like, you're a pretty big chick. You might be able to take some of these guys. And I'm like, yeah, but I won't be able to play in high school. In middle school, I would have been fine. But in high school, nah.
Damn, that's crazy. 5'7" in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
So how tall are you right now?
I'm 5'8" right now.
So you grew 1 inch since the sixth grade?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so we're getting to patriarchy in the family sense.
Yep.
So, all right. So then how did they treat your brother in comparison to you in a patriarchy? Because you're saying basically it was a patriarchy in your household?
1,000,000%. Okay. Yes. Not 100%. Not 1,000%.
I see. You said 1,000,000%.
No, it definitely was. So my brother was never expected to work. You know, my brother played the piano. He played... He entertained the idea of playing like 3 or 4 different sports. He started with basketball and then football and then baseball. And he ended up with lacrosse. It just was a whole crazy thing with that. But I was forced to pick 2 sports and stick with those 2. I didn't have the option to bounce between 4 or 5 different sports a year. You know, like that was never an option.
Right.
I didn't get the option to play travel ball at all during the summer until I got to high school. And for those of you that don't know what travel ball is, essentially like AAU, you're literally just traveling around the country playing ball on a consistent basis. And I played volleyball and softball from 7th grade up until I graduated from high school at that point. But my brother was given the opportunity to kind of just do whatever he wants. And let some people look at our situation. They'd be like, oh, well, Morgan, you were the oldest and you were the guinea pig.
They're going to have every excuse.
You're going to have every excuse until you're living in a household where you have 2 baby boomer parents that are raising a teenage girl that hit puberty at a kind of early age.
Yeah.
But is also attractive, smart, and is an athlete. And in certain situations, I attracted attention in ways that they weren't particularly happy about, but it's like, I get it from my mama. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, why am I to blame?
Right.
But my brother just kind of got away with doing a little bit of everything that he wanted to, you know, like he got to dabble in the piano and the different sports, whereas I was forced to stick to what I know and work. It was literally summertime was work and softball. Fall was volleyball, work. I had basketball season off, and then I transitioned into spring, and that was softball and work. And it was just literally a repeating cycle every single year. I was the only 8th grader with a job. Like, there was no one else. I was working at Chick-fil-A, but I worked at Chick-fil-A for 5.5 years. Like, it was, it taught me. Chick-fil-A is the foundation and the core of my customer service. But.
Oh, you A1 with it then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But.
Did you ever have to wear the uniform? Like the cow uniform instead of outside?
I feel like you're trying to disrespect me.
Nah, I'm fucking with you.
No, so the cow was the owner. So the Chick-fil-A I worked at was a franchise. So it was owned by a Black family. And the big cow and the small cow was typically the husband and then the son. Mm. So I never had to. I had to walk around with them to give them water and stuff so they wouldn't pass out. Yeah, but I never. Suit. Bro, what? There was zero air circulation in that suit. Like there were numerous times where I had to catch the baby cow from passing out. Yeah. But it happens.
But in patriarchy, like there's this term that keeps coming up in Measuring Each Other. We talk about it. You raise your daughters and love your boys.
Yep.
So in a sense that kind of fucks up the boys because, well, I guess they also in patriarchy, you pass down everything to your boys. So they might, anything the family has, they pass it down to their boys. So they're teaching them not to work for anything. Cause if you're going to get the house, you're going to get your dad's business. What is the woman doing? Or the daughter? Like she just has to go out there and get it on her own.
Yep. My household's a great example of that. You know, like my brother has a work ethic, but it's not because it was instilled in him the way that it was instilled in me. My father worked for UPS for 29 years. My mom worked for Verizon for like 15 years before she was laid off. Yeah. And both of them were born and raised with a hardcore work ethic that they instilled in me, whereas my brother, they just kind of let him do whatever the hell it was that he wanted. And he moved back in with my, and I'm not talking shit about my brother. I absolutely love my brother, but I adore him. But it's just like, we were just raised differently, you know, expectations and standards.
But this is a common story.
This is an extremely common story. And it's not because I'm the oldest. It's legitimately because when there is a son and a daughter situation, nine times out of 10, they were both raised completely differently.
Yeah. I got three sisters and they all would tell you the same thing you just said about your brother. They'd say the same thing about me.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, and at first I thought it was favoritism, and my brother and I kind of sat down and talked about it, and he was just like, Morgan, like, I promise you, I wasn't the favorite kid. Like, because like to this day, I still think that I was the black sheep of the family, and I'm going to hold true to that because it was just the way that I was treated. But my truth is my truth. You know, his story is completely different. But at the end of the day, it's like what men need to understand and what women need to understand. When you are raising your sons, you should actually be harder on your sons.
I agree.
Than you should be on your daughter. And just for the simple fact that just because you're female, your daughter can get pregnant, that doesn't mean that you should be harder on her. And I think that that's where that disgusting standard
that is where
even
I think
comes
70%
from.
Of that toxic behavior towards your daughters is because of that.
Absolutely. But it's like people don't understand. It's like you being that hard on your daughter is A, making her want to see what it is about in the first place. Why are my parents trying so hard for me not to go out?
Yeah.
Why are my parents trying so hard for me not to go to this house party? Why are my parents not wanting me to get a boyfriend so bad?
Yeah.
And that's where the curiosity of being a human being, especially going through puberty,
right?
You just get into compromising situations where your parents didn't want to talk to you about sex, or your parents didn't want to educate you on what a period is and what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that deep rooted patriarchy is where all that comes from in the first place, where it's
I never thought about that. Do they like women when you get your with your period, do they really tell you why you're getting it, and do they break it down to you?
So
I never asked women that question. Like, I would love to know how many women had that conversation. Like,
I think
when
that's
you have
a
your
great
period.
I think that's a great poll you should do on Instagram. I think it's really interesting for people to know. Like, and then on top of that, this is the story I never heard about. The birds and the bees.
Uh-huh.
I never got that story.
Me either.
I was literally just told man meets woman, they procreate, and then bam, this is where you came from. You know, I don't even know what the hell the birds and the bees story is, and I refuse to look it up because I want an adult to actually tell me the story, you know?
Right.
Like, you should be educated about a period. Like, I had a roommate when I was in college, I didn't even know how to put a bra on. Because her mom just never really sat down and walked her through, because it's a process to put a fucking bra on.
Every man has tried to take a bra off and was like, "What is
so
there a combination
like,
lock
just
behind
put it on. Just put it on. Show me how you put it on, right?" And they would have no idea. So it's like I had to have a friend of mine for prom, my senior prom. I had to help her put a tampon on.
Mm-hmm.
We were literally at a restaurant. I had to help her put a tampon on. She had no idea. And then I had a roommate a couple years later needed help putting a bra on. So it's like, the importance of talking to women about their bodies and their ever-changing bodies is the utmost importance, because it's like you wake up one day and my mom had the conversation with me. She's like, Morgan, you're getting around that age. Like, you're probably going to see blood. You're going to see this. You're going to see that. Like, my mom was prepping me for it to the point where, like, I was panicking.
Right.
I was going to, like, bleed out in church one day when in all reality, obviously, it wasn't that dramatic. But it's like I was, like, 11, 12 years old, so it obviously wasn't that bad. But knowing the importance and understanding the importance of what a period is, how a menstrual cycle works. And actually, one thing that I learned recently, which I'm probably going to come out with a series about this. So follow me on Instagram.
What's the Instagram again?
Instagram is at true.matriarch.
And you spell it just phonetically?
Yep. Exactly how it's supposed to be spelled. Understanding that everything that a woman does is based upon a cycle. So I'm going to break this down for you real quick.
Yeah.
So there are 4 weeks in a month, right? It's 28 days in a cycle. Mm-hmm. So the first week of the month, the woman is feeling vibrant. She's excited. She's happy. She's literally ready to conquer the world. You know, like, the first week of the month is when the woman conquers everything. You know, like, you're knocking off things on your to-do list.
Uh-huh.
You're going on dates. You're socializing. You're having fun. You're having a good time. The second week, you're kind of coming down from that first week, but you're still getting things done. That third week is when things start to slow down. So that's typically considered where women start to PMS. So you get the swollen breasts, you get the mood swings, you get the cravings, you get the exhaustion. And then that's when that fourth week hits, is when your actual menstrual cycle happens.
Mm.
So what I've learned to kind of hone in is I've learned to capture and maximize my time based upon my cycle. I can't conquer the world every single day. It's legitimately not possible as much as I want to, as much as the true matriarch in me wants to. It just doesn't work like that. So I've got to make sure that I understand what my body is in the mood for and just playing off of that.
So not trying to be funny, but is that where, because a lot of men say that's where the difference between why men get paid more than women is, because there's a chance of you being off for 9 months, 10 months when you have a baby, maybe actually longer than that.
It's actually not.
It's not?
No. So maternity leave is like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Paternity leave is like 6 weeks. So my mom worked up until 3 days before she gave birth to me.
Yeah.
And then she got her 6 weeks off and then she went right back to work.
Yeah.
So a woman's not off for 9 months, yeah. You know, like when she gets pregnant, you know, like y'all don't even know until about 3 months in yeah. that we're pregnant.
But are you at your best?
I don't have any children. Well, so I can't necessarily speak on that. Right. But in regards to the power and the truth behind women, I think that women are fully functional depending on what type of pregnancy they have. Now, every woman is completely different. You know, like some women, if you're having twins, apparently now, I think as of like 2017, I don't know if this happened before, but if you're having twins, you're automatically put on bed rest in certain cities that you live in. So I had a coworker that served tables with me. She mm-hmm. looked like she was perfectly fine. She was happy. Her mood was good. Her energy was good. She found out she was having twins. She had to leave work immediately. Mm. Her doctor said, you have to be on bed rest for the duration of your entire pregnancy. Yeah. And at that point, when she found out, she was only like 2 months pregnant. So you mean to tell me you got to be in the house for the next 7 months?
Ooh.
You're going to go That's nuts. Rough.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and I've been serving tables for a long time, and serving tables is a relief for some people.
Yeah.
Shout out to my food and beverage hospitality people. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, I don't think that a woman being able to conceive a child makes them off. You know, I think that mm-hmm. it's very much so we gave y'all life. Yeah. So it's like at some point in time, put some respect on the fact that
right.
we can carry a child and still be fully functioning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm just, you know, sometimes you got to play devil's advocate and see what.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand your beliefs. I know we're speaking for the people at this point. Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes a lot of people, they don't understand as me doing the, I guess you want to call it interviewing, but like I have to ask certain questions and people be like, how could you think that way? I'm like, I don't necessarily think that way, but I got to ask certain questions to get it one out of you. And then right. also the question, because sometimes guys would be listening and be like, why you ain't ask her this? Or how come you didn't put it to, not just necessarily you, but in any situation. But
absolutely.
So
I mean, I think it's important to understand like your perspective as well. You know, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that it's okay to remain in places of being neutral.
Right.
I think that you ask me a question, I answer, you offer your feedback, and then we just move on to the next topic. I don't think that it should
if
ever
I
be
do
a point
skip
where,
it, because I said from what like what I say, from men and women being black women and black men who's in, I try to answer all the questions as much as possible, but I also have to play devil's advocate. But toxic masculinity, patriarchy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Boys will be boys. Like when we grew up, right? I know so a lot of guys won't try to admit to this now because we're in such a it's even now. So like when we were growing up, it was nothing for a woman to walk by you in a club and you grab her or, you know, just do things that today I'd be ashamed of looking back at who I was before.
Yeah.
That's patriarchy in a nutshell too. And sometimes they would look at the girl and be like, well, you shouldn't have wore that. So you can't tell somebody based on what they wear that they deserve to be treated a certain way, but what you wear can bring a certain type of attention to you, right? Like I made an example of if I had my chain out and flashing money and somebody robs me, if you see that video on Instagram, everybody be like, he asked for it. Like, why were you doing all that in that certain place? But you cannot say that to a woman based on how she's dressed if somebody does something to her. At the same time, none of them, that man did not deserve to be robbed based on that. And that woman does not deserve to be sexually assaulted, harassed, catcalled or anything based on that, right?
Absolutely.
So where's your stand on that?
Y'all know my stance on this. Yeah. Specifically the she asked for it, he asked for it thought process mm-hmm. is completely flawed because right. women are being raped, kidnapped, sexually assaulted, sold into sex trafficking, wearing sweatpants and a hoodie. So it's like what someone deems as rape worthy as far as in her clothes is subjective. There is no logic is flawed.
It is
behind the fact that she asked for it because she was wearing a hoodie and sweatpants. Like, I'm most comfortable in my hoodie and sweatpants, but I don't think that I'm the most attractive in my hoodie and sweatpants. But some guys don't give a damn what you look like. If at the end of the day, if they want something that you have, they're going to do their best to take it. So it's like in certain situations, of course, but I think that the logic behind he asked for it is completely flawed and it's inaccurate because it's not even remotely true. Like,
and a lot of times, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. A lot of times men who rape, it's not about how the woman looked. It's about, it's a power thing,
it's
right?
It's 100% about control. I took, I went to school for criminology in undergrad. So I've taken a like sexual offense, like sex class. And the first week of this class, the professor literally said, like, this class is going to make every last one of you guys uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he dropped a disclaimer with no problem. And people legitimately got up and walked out because they didn't want to be in a place where they felt uncomfortable. You know, like, you're paying $1,000 for a damn class.
We're so sensitive now.
You don't want to be in a class where you feel uncomfortable. But it's like, I 100% respect that. Like, I personally have never been sexually assaulted. I've never been raped. But I have friends that all have. Like, I've got women. I've got female friends that have been raped.
I didn't realize how many women have.
But it's because we are raised in a world where your mom tells you if something happens between your uncle when you were 9, you don't tell anyone that my brother just sexually assaulted you. But it's like, that's because the patriarchy really truly runs deep into the point where we're going to say that a million times tonight. The patriarchy really runs deep where it's like, you don't talk about you being sexually assaulted. You don't talk about you being raped. Like, I had a roommate when I first went to, when I transferred to the University of Florida, she had been sexually assaulted for 5 years from her uncle.
5 years?
Literally from her uncle, Mez. Like, she literally could not tell her mom. Like, pure chaos to think that this girl went completely through puberty being sexually assaulted on a consistent basis from her mom's brother. And her mom, she literally couldn't say anything to anybody. Like, I don't even think to this day she has told anyone that she's been raped and sexually assaulted by her uncle.
What age range was that?
So I think it started when she was 9 and he went all the way through puberty sexually assaulting her. Whoa. So all the way through, she got her period at 11 and I believe that he stopped when, I think he went to jail for something at like 14, 15. It was when, like, the point in time where he actually stopped. So it was like, it wasn't because he wanted to stop. It was because he went to jail for something else. But it's like, she never really got to the point where she felt comfortable telling her mom or telling anybody in the family that this man has taken advantage of me on a consistent basis and I didn't feel comfortable telling any of you. But it's like, I've got several friends in my circle that have all been sexually assaulted and
that
or been raped.
That is insane. Yeah. It's a sick world we live in.
Yeah, I mean, we live in rape culture. You know, people look at me like I'm completely crazy when I say that. But I'm like, you guys got to fully understand. Like, I can't remember what state it was. I want to say it was Indiana. But one of these states passed a law where any woman that is intoxicated on the road and that's completely unconscious, she's not a living human being. So you can do with her as you may. Like, she doesn't have any rights because she's completely obliterated and intoxicated by her own choice. So at the end of the day, you know how the phrase dead man tells no tales?
Yeah.
It's essentially the exact same thing.
Right.
Whereas, like, if you find a woman that's on the side of the street, she's completely intoxicated and obliterated, you can do whatever the hell you want to with her because she's not an actual living human being.
That's insane.
And that's disgusting to think that you guys have completely manipulated the laws of human beings to fit a woman to be raped and sexually assaulted because she just had too much to drink.
Yeah.
You guys don't know if she got roofied.
Right.
You don't know if anything could have happened when she was in the club. You don't know what the hell happened. Exactly. She could have been on antibiotics and decided to mix tequila with it. You don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
But it's like certain states that have white men, and there are some other types of men in there, that have completely manipulated and changed the laws where, I mean, if she's unconscious, she ain't gonna remember it any damn ways.
That's fucked up. And a lot of times the term rape culture, people automatically assume you have to be raped for that. No. Rape culture could be catcalling. It could be
rape culture starts with catcalling.
Yeah.
And it starts with you calling a woman a bitch because she didn't respond to you the way that you wanted to. Rape culture literally stems from men struggling with taking rejection. You know how many men, first off, I'm not a small girl, so ain't no man gonna really try me like that.
Yeah.
But you know how many men I've had to completely blast either on social media or in person for taking my rejection as me being a bitch or me being an asshole or me being stuck up? I'll show you stuck up. I have no problem displaying actions of actually being a bitch.
The male ego is very fragile.
Oh, and dear God. I'm literally going to make a t-shirt that says, I eat male egos for breakfast. Because I do. Because it's like, I always take advantage of opportunities to let men know that I don't give two shits about your feelings.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't raised to give two shits about your feelings, just like you weren't raised to give two shits about my feelings.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the first thing that you decide to do when I tell you I'm no longer interested in engaging a conversation, anything of that nature, if you get defensive, it's because your ego is fragile. It's because you are exuding some type of insecurity that you want me to stroke your ego and make you feel good about yourself. You got the wrong bitch.
Hey, why not? If you try to holler at a girl, she says she's not interested and keeps it moving. Cool. Have a great
night. I literally
had
my first time. I moved to Miami in 2015. There was a guy. I was at the grocery store, fucking Winn-Dixie. And this guy is literally engaging in conversation with me. And I told him that I am not interested in having, I'm not interested. And you guys won't believe, he literally looked at me and said, what do you mean what you're not interested? Like, what is there not to be interested in?
Wow.
You are actually not what I'm interested in. Like, to keep it real simple, like, I'm not interested in having a conversation with you. I'm not interested in exchanging numbers with you. I'm not, like, the list legitimately goes on. But it's like, there are so many
it's
men.
It's you
that,
as a whole, nigga.
Shit, I don't even care. It can be me. I don't give a damn. I'm not interested in you. But it's like, so many men have such fragile egos and they get so offended.
No, I didn't mean you. I'm talking about you.
I don't give a damn. Yeah. I'm very secure with it.
Oh,
myself.
No, I just want to make sure you didn't take that the wrong way. I was talking about the dude. It's you as a whole, nigga. She's not interested in you.
No, because if I would have told him it was him as a whole, that would have just like fueled him to follow me to my car. It just would have created a whole situation. And I would have been probably on trial for murder right now. But at the end of the day, the male ego is very fragile, and it's the most unfortunate thing. And you want to know what it's because? It's because the moms have pampered and babied these men to not be able to accept rejection and to not be able to, they haven't been parented to the same level that a female's been parented to. So it's like, when you've been pampered and coddled your entire fucking life, whereas the female has been raised under an iron fist, of course you're not going to be able to handle rejection. You don't have the ability. You're not even cut from the same cloth as the woman is cut from to be able to handle rejection.
Yeah. And it's almost like, it's almost looked at as okay for y'all to deal with some of the stuff that are toxic ways. Like, it's almost okay for y'all to deal with that kind of stuff. Like, y'all raised to just be understanding, like, boys will be boys.
I'm going to fuck you up real quick.
All right.
So I actually had a conversation with my significant other a couple weeks ago, and he's not going to be happy that I'm telling you guys this, but I really don't give a shit. Him and I have been friends since, he knows 18-year-old Morgan. I'm 28 now. Mm-hmm. So he knows
the maturation,
the temperamental, the bitter, the angry. He saw the Hellraiser version of myself. And there is no one in my circle right now that can say that. My brother can't even say that because my brother and I weren't even really cool when I first went to college. So, yes, he was still my brother, but I just won't really fuck with him like that.
Yeah.
But there aren't very many people in my life that can say, like, I knew Morgan when she was 18. You know, I knew Morgan when she first came to college. There's nobody else that can say that except for him.
Mm-hmm.
So him and I sat down and we've been having some communication issues. And it's been an ongoing issue for 2 years where, yes, he lives like a mile and a half away from my house, but he doesn't feel the need whenever he leaves my house to let me know that he gets home. He doesn't feel the need to over communicate at all. You know, I'm an over communicator when I'm in a relationship. So like, I'll let you know any moves that I make where I'm outside of my house, like I just feel the need to communicate those things to my partner. Like
that's
I'm
dope.
Just very transparent with that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't feel the need to do that because in his world, I'm in my city. I'm almost home. Like it's not that fucking big of a deal.
Yeah.
So him and I sat down and I don't know where these words came from, Miz, but I don't know if it was just God speaking through me. I really don't know where these words came from, but I literally looked at him. I was like, you know what your problem is? I said, you've got some deep-rooted trauma within you that you refuse to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of you dealing with it, you come to me and make it seem like I'm the problem because I actually care about you. because I actually want to know your whereabouts. Not because I'm on some vindictive about to pop up on your ass shit.
Right.
But because I actually care about you as a human being, as my partner. I care about your well-being. So you're so screwed up in the head where you don't even know how to recognize the difference between the two.
Right.
You have no idea when a woman is actually displaying acts of affection and care and genuine love.
Yeah.
You don't know how to literally separate me from being your crazy ass ex-girlfriend that tried to kill you.
Yeah.
So it's like, at what point does it transition into a place where the woman is instilling values into a man that mm-hmm. he's not instilling values into her? At what point does it transition into a place where the woman is doing her best to care for the man and be submissive to the man and to be the best partner that she can be when he's the one that's instilling hate, trauma, lies, bullshit, or whatever it is back into her?
Yeah.
So it's like the relationship no longer is it becomes a toxic relationship
mm-hmm.
because he needs to heal. He doesn't know he needs to heal.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know he's the bad person between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to fuck with her because she's cute and she got a fat ass. Not saying that's what he thinks about me because I know he actually loves me.
No, of course.
But it's just like that deep-rooted trauma, that deep-rooted toxic masculinity, because he was raised in a household where men don't have problems. Men don't have mental health issues. Men don't. Men are not allowed to go to therapy. Men are not allowed to talk about any of their problems. I finally got the buzzer.
I want to play. It's a couple of times I'm like, damn, I should have pressed it. But you literally have me such a deep in thought and conversation that I forget to press the buttons.
But it's like that situation is so deeply rooted with him, where it's like his mom, he felt like his mom never actually cared about him. His mom never cared about where he was. So it's like having a woman coming into his life. Oh, she checking for me. No, like I actually want to know if you made it home safely. Like,
right.
I don't need you to tell me that you had to make 6 stops before you got home. I just want to know you made it home safely.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's where that toxic masculinity is so deeply rooted. And it starts from a lot of the Black mothers and Black fathers within our community that make you feel uncomfortable about over-communicating with a woman, with a woman that you care about.
Do you think also, because with me, like I had 3 sisters, but nobody was really checking for me like that. Like,
not.
So I can, maybe it's because he's used to not being checked upon. So when he finally does, like, it just looks at it as negative. Like, damn, why are you on me like to that point? Like me, I leave somewhere and I get there and I don't check in like, yo, I'm home. Like, I don't do that. But that's because I never had to do it. So it's still toxic. But do you understand that it's not like from a
malice place?
Yeah.
Yes. I understand that. And that's where that open line of communication had to happen.
Because it still needs to be communicated. It still needs to, just because that's how you were raised doesn't mean you don't need to fix that.
You were raised in an incorrect way.
Correct. That's what my son.
So like that's the clear, concise place about it, where when I'm leaving my female friends, if I didn't text back within 15 minutes of me being home, I was getting cussed out. Because at the end of the day, we live in a world where girls get snatched every day.
Yeah.
Girls get trafficked every day. And I'm not exempt from the rule, you know, like I'm not the exception.
Right.
So if I'm leaving, even if I'm driving 2 miles down the street, it doesn't matter. Like mm-hmm. I was just raised in a household where, Morgan, check on your friends. Make sure your friends are good. Make sure guys or girls, I don't care what they look like.
Yeah.
Make sure they made it home safely. But it's like, yes, I can understand how you not being raised, you were never checked upon. But it's like, don't take offense when a woman genuinely cares about if you made it home or not.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the delivery is also very important, because I'll say, are you home? Not where the fuck you at? I checked your location. Yeah. I don't know where to, like, I didn't do any of that. Like, I legitimately just said, are you home? You know, like I'm not going off on a tangent about, I checked your location. I put a tracker on your phone. I got a tracker in your car. I'm not doing none of that shit. Cause at the end of the day, if you got to do all that, he ain't worth it. But
mm-hmm.
you guys got to stop taking offense to a woman actually checking in to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. Nah, you got a good point on that for sure. Is it also patriarchy to think that a woman's end goal is marriage and family?
Yes, it is. And the reason why that is because not every woman is in the business to have children. Not every woman has any intention on getting married.
Yeah.
You know, some women are out here legitimately free-spirited as hell that are just waking up and just taking life by mm-hmm. whatever way the damn wind blows at this point. And it is complete patriarchy in a negative sense for you to expect all women to want to be married and or to have children.
So stop asking women when you want to have a baby or why you're not married yet.
Like, I pray that there is some millennial, or what generation is at, but before the millennial?
X.
X, and then who's before X?
What is that?
It's the baby boomer generation.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, exactly.
So I pray
yeah.
that there is a baby boomer, an X, as well as millennial parents that are listening to me right now. So mm-hmm. please, please, please stop asking your children yeah. when they're having kids, why they aren't having kids, why they haven't settled down. Because at the end of the day, there is so much more to life than having a marriage
right.
and or having children. And one thing that I learned big time was, not all women are physically fit or physically able to have children.
Right.
And it's not because she is less than of a woman. Yeah. It is legitimately because she just wasn't built with a womb or a body to have a children. Mm-hmm. I should have sent this to you before we jumped on here. I saw a video the other day where there's a woman on TikTok that has a genetic disorder. I guess this is a disclaimer. Not trigger warning. I don't know what the term I'm going to use right now. I'm just going to say it, whatever. We'll yeah. just figure it out from there. There's a woman that had a genetic disorder on TikTok, and she posted a picture of herself, and she has a physical deformity. She doesn't look like a normal human being.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah. Quote, unquote. This is what society tells you. She doesn't like a normal human being.
Right.
And it says, you guys told me not to have a child, but I did it anyways, essentially was what the summary was. Mm-hmm. So her child obviously has a physical deformity. And a friend of mine sent it to me, and I sent it to like three or four of my other girlfriends because I just wanted to know what their perspective was. And he asked me what my opinion was. And I told him, I said, I personally would never be able to have a child knowing that my child would 100% have a physical deformity. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. We live in a disgusting time frame.
Yeah.
We live in an awful fucking country where if your child doesn't look normal, even children with Down syndrome still get double looks. And yeah. Down syndrome is the most normalized form of deformities nowadays. So it's like, and please excuse me on my verbiage. I'm not 100% sure, obviously, what the verbiage is. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not fair, in my opinion, for mm-hmm. me to bring a child into this world knowing that they will never, ever get a shot at a normal life. So, yeah. And that's because society and patriarchy says that if your child is not remotely attractive, or if your child doesn't look a certain way, then they should be aborted. They should be dropped in a trash can. They should be all of the above. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. it's like women don't have the opportunities to make the decisions for themselves. We don't get the opportunities to make the decisions for our own bodies because our bodies are ruled by the government.
Yeah. Like pro-abortion, or pro-life.
We even dive into Planned Parenthood, which I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet. But when we really, truly dive into Planned Parenthood, like, it's legitimately a form of population control, whether people choose to acknowledge it or not.
Yeah.
And now, for people that... Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What's your question?
Do you feel... Like, where do you stand on pro-choice? Like, are you for a woman making that choice, or are you?
So I used to be a pro-lifer, and it was because I wasn't fully educated and well-versed into how deeply rooted the government was in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly switched over to being a pro-choice because at the end of the day, it's like, if I personally choose yeah. to make the decisions, whatever decision I want to make on my body, I should be able to make that decision.
I agree.
And there shouldn't be a white man in some boardroom making a decision about whether or not I should or should not abort my child.
Why is a man making a decision about a woman's body?
Because we live in a society where patriarchy rules all, you know, like, y'all think that, and I stopped taking birth control several years ago. And I really want every woman that is listening to me, if you have not taken a birth control break
yeah.
in a while, I highly encourage that you do so. And I'm not saying take a break for the rest of your life, but at least give your body 30 to 60 days to completely reset itself, because mm-hmm. the human body, especially the woman body, is very smart and it knows exactly what it's doing. The vagina is self-cleaning. Mm-hmm. It legitimately, you don't have to put anything in there to clean it. It literally cleans itself. So your hormones are not meant to be consumed by a little tablet that you take every day at 9 p.m. Like, that's not how your body is meant to be constructed.
Right.
And that pill was also made in a lab by someone that wanted to prevent you from having children. So make sure you fully understand what birth control actually does to your body. And I understand if y'all out here and you got partners, you got boyfriends, and they don't like to wear condoms. I get it. I'm not making decisions based upon my life, based upon what a man does and does not want to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you need a 60-day break, if your partner doesn't want to wear condoms a couple times that you guys have sex, then you need to get a new partner.
Yeah.
pull-out method also works really well. So
that's true.
If he can't do that, then you also need to get a new partner. No offense.
Yeah. But even when you're talking about pro-life or pro-choice, excuse me, like you're talking about with Down syndrome stuff, now they got tests that show you early on, like you can have an abortion if these are some of the things that can possibly go wrong with a child.
Absolutely.
Like you said, I wouldn't want to bring a child into this world knowing it's going to have a very, very hard time.
Yeah. I think that as me being a Black woman, as it is, we already get a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Me being Black is a disadvantage, but me being a Black woman is also an extreme disadvantage.
Right.
So I won't know until a couple months in whether or not I'm having a boy or a girl, but it's like, I personally just wouldn't want to bring a child into this world knowing that there was an extreme chance that they were never, ever going to get a shot at a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you determining whether or not your child will be have a normal life or not is very subjective. But it's like if you personally choose to live in the United States, you know, if your child doesn't look the way that other children look, they're going to get bullied. They're going to get cyberbullying is all the thing now. I don't even know where the hell that even came from.
Yeah.
But it's like cyberbullying is a big issue now. So it's like your child won't even be in the face of someone else and they're still getting bullied online.
Right.
So it's like children's suicide rates.
That's the alcohol.
It's exactly
mess, drink, and chill. Drink up, here's some more champagne. Oh, matter of fact, you're the first person to drink champagne on the show.
Listen, you need to get a champagne sponsor. You should have paid for this.
Right.
But, children suicide rates, there it is, are at an all-time high during this pandemic because children can't see their friends. You know, children can't go outside. They can't be social. They can't go to their birthday parties. They can't have their sleepovers. Like, children's suicide rates were absolutely through the roof because they just want to see their friends.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine how those children feel that don't have any friends. Imagine how those children feel that don't have anyone to socialize with that even remotely looks like them. So it's like, people got to understand that. And I'm not suggesting by any means, I'm not a doctor, I did not go to med school by any means, but it's like really take into consideration the lifestyle that your children are going to be raised. And this goes as far as you raising, you getting pregnant and having a child or whatever the situation is in a household where it's extremely low income. You know, mm-hmm. I had a hard conversation with an ex-friend of mine a couple months ago where he says, I can raise my children on a $40,000 income. And I was like, in what fucking country?
Right.
You have a boy and a girl. And how selfish are you to look me in my face and tell me that you're going to deprive them of experiences mm-hmm. because you personally choose to not get a new job or you choose not to go back to further education or not to learn a new trade? Like, the amount of information that we have at our hands is completely endless at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you can learn anything you want.
You can literally learn anything that you want. So for him to confidently look me in my face and tell me that he'd raise two children on a $40,000 income, I was completely disgusted.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're consciously choosing to
That's
live.
A choice.
Damn near, especially in Charlotte, close as hell to the poverty line, raising two children. And now it's your children's fault?
Mm-mm.
That you don't want to give them a better life? Well, I couldn't get a better job because I got two kids. Or I couldn't get a promotion because I got two kids. Or I couldn't go back to school because I got two kids. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's not even fair to your children to deprive them of experiences like that.
Right.
Because you chose not to wrap it up. You chose to not take the Plan B pill. You chose to whatever the situation is. But it's like only a man will look me in my face and say that. No woman would ever look me in my face and say, Morgan, you know what? I'm cool with living $40,000 a year and making my children survive off of that.
Yeah.
No woman would ever look me in my face and say that.
Because almost like society looks at it like it's a woman's job to make sure her kids are straight. But
Precisely.
If a guy does, it's kind of like...
He's doing the best he can.
Yeah, he's doing his best.
A man legitimately showing up to pick his kids up once a week is him doing his job.
He's a good father. Like, look at him. Damn, you a good father. You at your kids' games. It's like, what are you talking about, my nigga? Like, and to me, that's
offensive. Bare minimum. It's that mediocrity. Yeah. Like, ladies, we have to, ladies and gentlemen, because men are required in this shift,
mm-hmm.
it's essential. We have to get rid of these societal norms. We have to get rid of this bullshit. It has to stop at some point in time. Men, if you are only seeing your child once a week and you think you're labeling, you putting father in your bio on Instagram.
Nah.
Fuck no.
Nah.
Absolutely not. You're not a father if you're seeing your child once a week. I don't care what your work schedule is.
Nah.
If you personally are choosing to FaceTime your child, to not invest time, energy, money, love, and affection, because money is not everything.
No, it's not.
If you're not actually going to instill true values and beliefs into your child, do not call yourself a father. Because you know, you were just a sperm donor at this point. Like, she probably would have got better a better gamble
right.
for the nigga she paid a couple hundred bucks for at the sperm bank.
Right.
That would have been her better option than you picking your child up one day a week.
Yeah. Like, it's, as a man, you should be offended if somebody says you're a good father because you showed up at a game or picked up your kid from school or some shit like that. Like, that's not something you should be too proud of. You got to be in a kid's life. And like you said, money isn't everything, because when I look back at my favorite memories with my father, it has nothing to do with what he bought me.
Exactly.
Like, it's literally off of experience, what he's taught me, the game he's gave me, the time.
You guys spent.
Yeah, that money, I can't think of nothing. Like, I seen a picture recently with me sitting right next to the Christmas tree. There wasn't a fucking gift under the Christmas tree, but I was smiling.
You didn't care?
Yeah. Like, it's the experience and the moments that you really care about when you get older.
Absolutely.
But I was looking up, of course, I was doing research on this because I didn't want to be blindsided with some of this stuff, but I see in the part where it said that men's and women's bathroom is part of patriarchy.
Yeah.
How?
So there are pillars to patriarchy, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, for those of you who do not know. And the first, one of the first levels of patriarchy is like gender identification, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you walk down a hallway at your favorite restaurant, or you walk down the hallway at your favorite nightclub or what have you, and mm-hmm. you have to pick which bathroom you choose to go in. That is essentially a form of patriarchy. And ultimately, it just stems from men are supposed to be over here and women are supposed to be over here. So what happens is you have transgender people that aren't 100% sure mm-hmm. which direction they should go in. Because if you go into a men's bathroom, if you go into a women's bathroom at some point in time, there's a chance that someone could be upset with you, someone could bully you, someone could try and fight you. Like, you don't know what the situation is. So transitioning and removing the labels on the bathroom is what the HB2 law was supposed to do, amongst a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
But to talk about the surface level portion of it, was having gender neutral unisex bathrooms is what was supposed to happen. And to my knowledge, New York did it without a problem, but any state that was south of the Mason-Dixon Bible Belt said absolutely not.
Right.
Men go over here and mm-hmm. women go over here. And this is also another thing that I didn't mention to you. What restaurants have you been in where there was a baby changing table in the men's bathroom?
It's not many, but you do catch them here and there, but it ain't many.
Every single time I go to a restaurant, if I get a chance to peek into the men's bathroom, there's not a baby changing table in there, I act the fuck up.
Really?
I used to work at Red Robin, and Red Robin was the first restaurant I'd ever been in where they had a baby changing table in the men's bathroom as well as the women's.
Oh, matter of fact, I'm not even
And you want to know how many women I told at the table?
What?
She said, I'm going to change the baby. I said, you sit your ass right here.
Yeah.
Sir, there's a baby changing table in the bathroom.
Yeah. What's wrong?
And it worked numerous times.
Yeah. Like, actually, I can't think of a exact restaurant, but I know for sure, like, I think it was Discovery Place or mm-hmm. Discovery, when I took my son there, they had it in there. But I guess it's because it's specifically for a kid's place, so they gotta have it in both the men's and the women's, because you never know who's bringing a child.
You need to have baby changing tables
in every
establishment. If you decide that you want to have gender neutral, or if you decide you want to have gender specific bathrooms, you need to have baby changing tables in both. It would make your life so much easier if you had gender neutral bathrooms, and that you just have a baby changing table in every stall.
Do people pick and choose what to be mad about as far as patriarchy?
Absolutely. Just like people pick and choose to what to be mad about feminism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing.
Is feminism the same thing as matriarchy?
So being a matriarch is more so just being a leader within your household and being a leader within your organization and your tribe. When it comes to feminism, it's more so pushing towards women's rights and equal treatment. There's a fine line between
matriarchy,
womenism, as well as feminism. And for those of you guys who do not know, the feminist movement was from the 1960s, and it was more so geared towards white women.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an inclusive environment that included black and brown women. I've done research. I've read articles. I've done a lot of reading to fully understand, do I call myself a feminist or do I call myself a womanist? Because calling yourself both is kind of counterintuitive. And
wait, how so?
Because it's like, they are on the same path,
right,
but they just didn't have the same intentions behind it. And it's because, once again, the feminist was for white women, whereas the womanist movement was founded by a black woman that was supposed to be for black and brown women. So the same fashion, the way that I explained it to Mez earlier is the Black Lives Matter movement is not just about black people. Anyone that's listening to this and you know what the movement stands for, you know the absolute truth.
Right.
If you choose to think that the Black Lives Matter movement is just about black people, you're totally dumber wrong than you think that you are.
Yeah.
And that's the exact same thing with the womanist movement. You know, like it's not just about women's rights. It's about inclusivity. It's about holding men accountable. So it requires men to be a willing participant in the movement as well.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the feminist movement, these white women were just pushing rights for females, you know, like they didn't have anything specific that required inclusivity.
But didn't the black women help with that too?
Black women help with everything.
But they got nothing new. When it came to, down to it, the feminist is just about white women.
Yep. Womanist also involves white women.
Yeah.
Just like the Black Lives Matter movement also includes white people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like to think that Black Lives Matter is only towards black people, just like the womanist movement is only geared towards black women is flawed and inaccurate. So it's like this is where the time where you guys should really take the time to do your research and ask questions, you know, like a good percentage of people that are listening to this, your parents are still alive and they were around for the feminist as well as the womanist movement. Ask questions, get a better understanding. You know, I didn't fully understand what my mom went through until I found out that my mom was in high school when schools got segregated.
Sheesh. Cause that's not like we look at it as history, but shit, just as
it
like
wasn't
you
that
said,
long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
My mom literally had white friends and they were completely, when they would walk into the school, the teachers would pull the white girl to her side and she would have to find, my mom would find her way to her own classroom. Like it, she literally had friends that she could not associate with in school because they had segregated school in the midst of them attending during that year.
Yeah.
Whereas my father is from Jersey and his school was all black any damn ways.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any segregation conversations going on in his county and probably in the whole damn state of Jersey at that point.
Right.
But he didn't have any issues. He didn't notice a difference in anything. But then they started putting up signs where my mom could only drink from this water fountain and go to this bathroom and sit on this side of the cafeteria. Like,
that's insane.
My mom legitimately looked at my face. Like, we sat down, I think it was like last Christmas, actually last year. And she told me, she was like, Morgan, I was in school when they segregated school. She's like, I had teammates and friends that I couldn't even talk to. It just happened out of nowhere.
That shit was literally yesterday.
Yep.
That's crazy. What about like heterosexual and homosexual, like those type of names? That's patriarchy also?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I know a lot of you guys are probably paying really close attention to people's bios as well as their signing emails, anything that people are publishing about themselves on social media. And a lot of people are being very specific about their pronouns because some people are born a certain way and they identify as something differently. And it's because at the end of the day, some people believe that whatever race or whatever gender you're born, that's what you're stuck with. Whereas some people believe in freedom of choice, freedom of decision, freedom to say, if yes, I was born a woman, but I identify and I feel more comfortable as labeling myself as a man. So it's like having heterosexual and having roles have also stemmed from patriarchy. And then for those of you guys that don't know, I don't know if Mez is going to see, but white supremacy has also stemmed from patriarchy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%. So it's like there are literally pillars and levels to it. And it's, I'm going to challenge every last one of you guys, and please feel free to hit me up on Instagram, to DM me at true.matriarch, and just let me know your thoughts. You know, like I'm super down to have an open conversation about this. I'm still learning every single day. You know, I just wrapped up a master's degree, so research is in my blood at this point in time. So it's like I'm super open to having these conversations. But please come to me with credible sources. Do not come to me with a quick little Yahoo search and some bullshit. Like if you gonna, we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. Like I'm a very challenging person, but I'm also really big on perspective. So I'm very, very intrigued by thought-provoking conversation.
Yeah.
It's gotten me into some trouble. But
no, but you're also understanding. That's the dopest part about the conversations that I've had with you.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll try to, like when you have a conversation with certain people, they're so stuck in their way that they don't have empathy or like understanding of another person's point of view, why they tick and talk like that.
Yep.
Like, so that's why I thought it was very important to have you on here. Like you just came last week or the week before with Tiana and you were just here for What else do you do? Like, because you do so much. Like, I can't speak for you. You speak for yourself.
Yeah. So I came a couple weeks ago with Tiana. She's the attorney that Ms. had on for mm-hmm. a quick session.
Right.
And I am Tiana's content creator / photographer, videographer / creative director / publicist. Like, I wear a ton of hats, yeah. and that's just the beauty of me just being a Black woman. And this is what we fucking do. Yeah. But I got it again, guys. At the end of the day, I just wear a ton of hats. Mm-hmm. And Tiana just needed a very well-rounded individual that had a vision, you know, yeah. and understood what she wanted and what she needed for her brand. Mm-hmm. And I was able to produce. And for the month of November, we've got her several hundred followers. Her impressions are through the roof. But then for the month of December, we've peaked 6,000 followers for her.
Yeah.
We've got her impressions over 250,000. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, then I'm not the girl for you. But at the end of the day, if you guys are looking for some legitimate content creation that transitions into customers, mm-hmm. hit me up.
Dope. You do everything. But yes. Damn, I done lost my that. Hennessy made me forget what the fuck I was thinking. What was I going with that? The fact that you're open to listening, understanding. You're empathetic towards
how... I wasn't always like that.
You growth. Know, like I, yeah, shout out to growth.
Shout out to growth, definitely. I wasn't necessarily a narrow-minded person. I just knew that people were full of shit. Mm-hmm. And I think that I learned that very early on in my life. So it got to the point where I was doomed to ever be able to be a people person, to ever deal with people ever again, because I knew to the core that what you guys see on Instagram is fake.
Of course. Yeah.
It's a facade. You know, yeah. it's legitimately orchestrated to make you guys think that people are legitimately living their best life. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from a content creator. This is coming from a photographer, someone that does yeah. this full time.
Right.
And I can piece apart someone's insecurities from one picture that you show me. You know, yeah. like it'll literally take me seconds. Like
yeah.
at the end of the day, people got to understand that what you see displayed on the internet is not ever a direct depiction of that person that you're looking for.
Right.
And I think that the most important thing is to truly never forget to who you are mm-hmm. as a person. And mm-hmm. I knew that deep down inside, I wasn't a bad person. I just didn't like people. But it's like, I knew I couldn't be successful by myself.
You say you don't like people?
I didn't like people. Oh. After yeah. a ton of self-help books and me just going on this personal development journey, uh-huh. I came to the realization that people are just naturally flawed, and I'm flawed as well. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not exempt from emotional challenges and personal challenges. I'm not exempt from falling under the standard of society as well as the standard of patriarchy, but I just choose to exist in a place where I'm going to be a strong Black woman in any setting that I'm placed in.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, if you could go back 5 years and tell yourself some advice, what would you tell yourself?
I would have never fucking went to college.
Yo, me and Safa talk about this shit all the time. Why you say that?
For the simple fact that the education system in this country is operating under a system that no longer is accurate. Mm. So the education system is operating under the information stage. Mm-hmm. Not the internet. You know, it's not the .com fucked everybody up.
Yeah.
So it's like you go to college, you get a good job, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to college, you get a good degree according to the world standards.
Right.
You find a decent job, you bust your ass mm-hmm. through the interview process, you finally get hired, you get treated like shit for the first couple of months. You know, you go through that whole hazing process. And then you get to the point where you got to work for this company for 40 years to retire off of 40% of the income.
Yeah.
The 40-40 plan no longer works. Yeah. It's completely inaccurate. It's flawed, just like a lot of other systems in this country. Yeah. But it's like the education system grooms people to be employees. The education system does not groom you to be a business owner. And for this country to operate off of capitalism and being self-employed and being a business owner, because this country might operate off of capitalism, mm-hmm. but the backbone of this country is off of small businesses, whether mm. people choose to acknowledge it or not. Like yeah. small businesses is what kept this country afloat during this fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
Not Walmart or, Yeah, Target probably did. Yeah. Walmart actually probably did. I'm about to say, but at the end of the day, like, this country thrived off of small businesses constantly, people supporting black businesses, people exchanging money, you know, like,
right.
That is something that, and that's the reason why they had no problem paying you your extra $400. What was it for unemployment?
Yeah.
Because they wanted you to pump that money back into the economy.
Exactly. It's going right back into it.
They were just like, let's give them an extra $400 every week or every 2 weeks so that they will go online and spend money on something they don't fucking need. Like, that's what the government wanted you to do. And that's exactly what a good percentage of people did. You know, people went out, took their stimulus, put down payments on houses, put down payments on cars, literally paid for things they didn't need. And you guys did exactly what the government wanted you to do.
Fell right back into their trap.
You fell back into the trap. And now here we are. We're about, 9 months into the damn pandemic, and we've been given $1,200. And we're about to get a little baby $600.
So I just got my
$600. My shit ain't dropped yet, but it's okay. But it's like, what people got to understand is, like, 5 years ago, if I would have known that all I had to do was start a business, attending to people's needs and becoming an essential business, I would have never went to college. I would have never got myself in over six figures in debt for education that.
Yeah, we get what was that? I think Money Traps episode. On season six, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that was last season. We literally talked about everything you just talked about and how it's such a... this episode is called Money Traps, and we talk about all type of money traps that the government, society, everything places on
did
us.
Did you go into the NCAA?
No, damn, we forgot to talk about that. Yeah.
That's a heavy hitter. And I didn't even play ball in college. I could have. I turned it down. But what... the NCAA does to student athletes.
It's disgusting.
It's literally, you want to talk about modern day slavery.
That's slavery, basically what it is.
And
they make
I don't regret this paper that I wrote, but my sophomore year in college, I wrote a research paper on how student athletes don't deserve more funding. And I did. I did. I'm gonna stand in that truth. And this is the reason why. Guys, give me a moment to explain myself.
Yeah, I'm all ears. I'm trying to figure out how could you say that. Yeah.
I went to a school down in Florida, a HBCU, and I came into school with 3.0 GPA. After my first semester, I had a 3.75. I was an out-of-state student, so I did not qualify for any financial aid.
Damn.
I had teammates from the football team, from the basketball team, that didn't even come to class, that were getting a full ride.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They would come to me say, Morgan, I need help studying. Can you write this paper? Can you take this quiz? Can you do this? And I'm like, fuck you. Because at the end of the day, your education is fully provided to you. You don't practice that much.
Right.
And this is what my paper said. And I stand true to this. And if I find it, I'll promise you I'll send it to you, man.
Yeah.
It's somewhere on one of these hard drives in my house. But it's like I stood true to it because it's like I came to class on time. I participated. I turned in all my work on time. I offered to help other students.
Yeah.
I was a tutor. I was a mentor. I had two or three clubs I was participating in. And I was also trying to play on the softball team.
Sheesh.
And y'all didn't give me shit.
That's sad.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got zero funding. I'm not going to tell you the school I went to.
I was going to ask, but I'm not going to ask.
I got zero funding from this university. So my very last semester, I transferred to another school. My very last semester, my professor asked me to write a paper about something that I'm very passionate about. And I said, hold my beer. Hold my beer. And I went absolute nuts on this paper about how college students did not deserve more funding because I wasn't given a damn thing. I legitimately busted my ass. Like, I'd never had a 3.75 when I was in high school. Like, 3.0 was like my peak at that point. But
I could totally understand why you would feel that way.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
And it's like, but now, like, I'm getting to truly fully understand how messed up and how corrupt the industry is. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, 6-7 years ago, I stood true to the fact that student athletes didn't deserve a damn thing because I was never offered a damn thing. And that could have easily been because the university was flawed. You know, the president at the time had like 20 plus lawsuits like active against her. It was pure chaos. And this is the reason why which is probably a conversation for another fucking day. This is the reason why.
Oh, you'll be back on the podcast, believe that.
Black institutions are not heavily respected and not discussed because you've got these presidents, you got this administration, you got superintendents in these high schools that don't actually give a shit about these students.
People get drunk off of power sometimes.
Exactly.
A lot of times.
Absolutely. A lot of times. Yeah. More often than not, people take their power and they're just like, fuck these kids.
Yeah.
But it's like the most unfortunate thing about it is like they don't understand how much that transitions into how white people view our institutions.
Yeah.
How they don't take us seriously because they see, well, she don't take it seriously and she was the president of the university.
Right.
So how can I take her seriously? Because white folks do that research. You know, they go look for bad before they look for good. So it's like, and I understand that it's not possible for everyone to be a shining light within your university. Obviously, now we're fucking human beings. But it's like what people, I want everyone to understand, like, be more cognizant as to who's paying attention to you, who's watching what you're doing. Because it's like, if you make headlines in the newspaper, you're going to get fucking outed. But what's crazy is... y'all probably gonna do research on this. I can have a feeling. The city that I was living in, the two students that crashed the plane into one of the towers from 9/11 went to a school in the same city as me.
What? Muhammad Atta? I remember that name. I don't remember nobody else on it.
They were probably all named Muhammad, excuse me.
The views and opinions you hear are totally of the guest, not Mez Drinks and Chill.
Yeah, so you'll probably do some digging on that. But the two students that crashed one of the planes into one of the towers went to a school in the same city as me, but they were not headlined in the newspaper. The school that I attended at the time was headlined with the amount of lawsuits that she received.
That's crazy. We learned a lot from you today, Morgan.
I try to provide as much value as I possibly can. I am not a controversial person, so this topic was a little bit out of my comfort zone.
Well, you said this topic was out of your comfort zone?
This topic, because not very many people. So when I have conversations in my DMs are never about my matriarchy. You know, conversations in my DMs are very much so about, like, why am I actually, now that I think about it, why am I not married? That is
that's the truth.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, how quickly the conversation stemmed out of the true fucking issue, which is patriarchy.
Yeah.
I have several conversations with guys in my DMs about why I'm not married, why I don't have kids, why.
Why is that any of your business is what the main question is, right?
Naturally, and I've come to the realization that men that come straight to women and say, you're not married, you don't have kids, there's obviously something wrong with you.
Or do you think that's like it's almost a backhanded compliment because they're trying to say like a woman of your stature or like I'm trying not to be like it's like a woman who looks the way you look, you know, you have everything going for yourself. Why aren't you, you know, what quote unquote society puts on you to be a mother, a wife? That might be what they're coming like. How the hell is she single? Or I mean, not single, but like, you know, how come nobody's gotten you pregnant yet? Like,
crazy or something wrong?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a nigga's way of saying, like, trying to kick that kind of game, but they don't understand what they're saying too. At the same time, like,
and a couple weeks ago, I actually had to entertain a conversation with a guy that asked me that, and I came to find out after me asking, me being the inquisitive person that I am, asking more questions to find out that he had been denied for a proposal.
Like,
so he got down on one knee and she said no. And it hurt him bad to the point where he couldn't rationalize why someone like me had a partner but wasn't entertaining the idea of us getting engaged right now. And in the back of his mind, he's just like, why are you wasting his time? Why are you wasting your time? And I was like, I don't believe that I'm wasting my time. I don't believe I'm wasting his time. At the end of the day, like, I'm a millennial through and through. So I'm going to wake up and do whatever the hell I want to do on whatever any given day it is.
But society shows it like.
Society says you shouldn't date someone that you don't want to marry.
That's true. And it also shows that a man says when it's time to get married, or it's up to him, because normally a woman's already ready to get married a woman's ready for that.
If that nigga dropped down on one knee today, I'd tell his ass no.
Yeah.
Because he's not ready to be my spouse.
Sometimes women will pressure men into marriage, even though they don't sit there and understand that this nigga is not ready to be married. And men, a lot of times when they don't propose, it's because they know they're not ready to be married. Like, if I can't give you 100% of a husband, why would I ask you for that? But women will pressure you into that. So a lot of men, it's over 50%, the divorce rate. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. Like, people just, they just do it because it's society deems that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, after 2-3 years of dating, what the fuck are we doing? We're supposed to be getting married next. And then you get married.
Yeah. I think that it also, because I actually had this conversation with my parents, my father blamed millennial generation for the divorce rate.
Wow. And
I explained to him, I said, Dad, we don't believe in staying married because society tells us to.
Yeah.
I'm not staying married for these damn kids. I'm not staying married for you. I'm not staying married for my brother. I'm not doing none of that. At the end of the day, I'm not getting married because of y'all.
Yeah.
But it's like, society says that, oh, you guys should stay together for the kids. You should stay. No.
That's how the baby boomers did.
That's exactly what my parents' generation did.
Right.
But it's like, y'all don't realize that y'all caused so much more trauma doing that. Yeah. Then you guys were better off getting separated. And the kids also know the entire time that y'all are not working out, that you are choosing to stay married for that little badass kid.
And like, it's toxic. No. That's a toxic living environment for a child.
The child always knows.
Yeah. Like, y'all arguing, fighting all the time. That's not good for the kid.
No.
It's probably better if y'all two have two separate homes. And then the kid could go back and forth. It could be healthy that way,
too. Your child knows how to adapt. At the end of the day, you teach your child what you want them to know. Yeah. And if you tell you look your child in the face, and this is another thing where I have an issue with parents not telling their children about grieving.
Mm.
If you have a kid and your mom passed away or your grandmother passed away, tell your child the truth, bro. And I understand, I don't have any kids. I've never had to do it before. You know, I get it. My mom, when my grandmother passed away when I was younger, she told me the truth because she didn't want me to wake up looking for my grandmother every single day of every single day for the rest of my life, because that's what would have happened.
Yeah.
And then I would have got to the point where I would have resented my mother for not telling me the truth. Like, you will save.
And eventually you got to tell them the truth.
My mom solidified it. She took me to the funeral. And I saw everyone that was around me that was crying. I remember parts of this is fading, but I remember very like vague, important situations. That was the first time I'd ever seen my mom cry. And I had no idea what she was crying about. But then she took me up to the altar to see her body in the coffin.
Whew.
And that was when it hit me where I was like, no, that's not when it hit me, actually. Yeah. Now I take it back. I saw her in there and I was like, oh, she's just sleeping. You know, she's just taking a nap. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But my mom took me to the gravesite. And that's when it really, truly hit me. When they put my mom stayed until the very end where they put the dirt on
top of
my.
That's the worst part.
And that's the worst part. Ooh. And that was when my mom like really, really, truly broke down. But like, she tried to be as strong as she possibly could for me. But it's like, she needed me to see that my grandmother is going in the ground and she's never coming out. Like, you need to understand that her life is over with. She's going in the ground and you're not going to see her anymore.
Yeah.
And in order for me to fully understand that, I had to participate in the funeral, going to the altar, going to the gravesite, watching them put the dirt on top of her casket was so essential for me to understand that my grandmother is not coming back.
Right.
At that point in time, my mom was pregnant with my brother. So I was 4 and a half.
Oh, you were super young. Damn. Yes. Yeah. That's a lot to process.
You got to see that stuff, though. It's so important. Yeah. And I understand, like, children that are 2, 3, yes, they don't really fully understand that. But it's like, if your child's like 3, 3 and a half, 4, and they're very intuitive children and they're very articulate and they understand, you can have a conversation with them. You can tell them about someone dying.
Right.
You know, but it's like, it's all about how you do it. You know, like, I had my distant cousin. She passed away and her nephew was just cracking jokes. Oh, well, she didn't come back. She did.
Yeah.
But he didn't understand what he was saying
because
no one had taken him through the full process to understand that she wasn't coming back.
Right.
You know, he's over cracking jokes thinking he's trying to be funny talking about, oh, she's dead, because it's like, it's just another word that's in his vocabulary. He doesn't really truly understand the depths of it.
Exactly.
And then they took his little ass to the damn gravesite and was just like, dead.
Yeah.
Not coming back. And then that's
when... That'll wake you up.
That woke his ass right up. Because he was already a sassy little kid. So they needed to humble his ass. And... Yeah. Letting him know, like, she is in the ground. She's not coming back. Like, this is where she's at. Like, that conversation, I think, is very important.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Morgan, man. We really learned a lot from you. Patriarchy, matriarchy.
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. Like, all these
feminism,
things.
Womanism.
Feminism, womanism. These are all important things that I think my listeners have gained a lot of knowledge on because of this episode. So I really appreciate that.
No, and I definitely appreciate you for having me on. You know, I think it's really important for people to understand that our listening is that Mez picks and chooses who he wants to share with you all. You know, like he's a very intuitive person that understands that he's not going to share. And he might have an atheist on the show one day.
I would love to have an atheist
on. You know,
on
like he's really open to people's perspective. Yeah. And I... am learning to be more receptive to other people's opinions. Like I said before, I've not always been this very open person. So it is an ongoing process. It's a self-development process to be receptive to listening to other people's opinions and for people to look at me and tell me that I'm a man hater because I'm voting for everybody that's a woman. You know, like at the end of the day, this is my truth. This is what I stand in. This is what I believe in.
Yeah.
But I'm always open to other people's perspectives. So I definitely appreciate the opportunity to come on here and share my thoughts.
You got to come back. Well, I'm sure I'm have other topics.
I don't know topics. What the next topic
is going to
be.
Oh, I got a couple.
We can literally talk about anything. Like, I could go ham on photography. I could go ham on content creation, marketing. Like, we can literally talk about it. I'm a wealth of information. So
I appreciate that. Oh, that first song was called, I think I played 100 Winds by Bags. He just dropped... R.I.P. to Bags. He dropped the album, The Adventures of Bad Luck Bags. And you can find that everywhere, any streaming platform. Go buy it, though, man. He got the merch out. He got everything going on. Rest in peace to my bro, Big Bags. We're going to leave out on a song called Buybacks off the new album. Y'all check it out. I appreciate you, Morgan. What's your Instagram again?
At true.matriarch. I am your favorite content creator, photographer, creative director.
That's right. And we out of here. It's Mez Drinks and Chill. You know where you can find me at, Mez Black Label on the personal page, or Mez Drinks and Chill for the podcast page. I appreciate y'all for listening. I'll holler at y'all some other time.
If the dope ain't good, sorry, we don't really do buybacks. We don't really do buybacks. Sorry, we don't really do buybacks. If your credit ain't good, I'm only focused on my racks. I'm only focused on my racks. Yeah. My Benz born in 84, bags came in later. Soon as I get it painted, I'ma flex on my neighbor. I got weight, but I'm far from a waiter. This Decatur, even niggas from the dick. Dick rides on six, what the fuck? I done stayed down, just to come up. You a duck, when I throw the money down, pick it up. I been mean, can't you tell by my gut? Pocket stuffed, but my girl waist tiny. Put the tip on her butt, she got tips and her mouth slick. But that's my name, I make flips, don't you doubt shit. That ain't my game, I done stop fucking with them niggas. That ain't my gang, I don't talk like them other niggas. That ain't my slang. Or you could run shit, that's a choice made. Down to your last card, kill the ass with no spade. I've been cool since a juvenile, them hot boy days. And my bitch is a 10 like 4th grade.
If the dope ain't good, sorry we don't really